singing, for your worship. I know it can be awkward if you're at home to sing and stuff. I know when we were doing all pre-recorded and online, and then we would watch it from our house at home and just kind of like sing real quietly to ourselves. And it was just so awkward to do that. Is everything okay back here? We good? Oh, I see. Okay. All right. As long as we're good. So we're starting a new series today called Unmasking Our Faith. In Ohio, we have a statewide mask order, right? And in fact, I think most of the states do. Like, if you're going to go into a public space, you need to wear a mask. I think that's pretty universal. Outdoors, you can get away with it unless you're unable to socially distance or whatever the rules are. We have a statewide mask order. And so I'm not debating that. Like, that's not what we're talking about, like whether we should have masks or not. I talked about my opinions on it back in the last series. We talked a little bit about the liberty behind that and all those things. Just go check those out if you want to hear that. So this is a play on words, unmasking our faith, because masks are a deal right now. And it used to be that if you walked into a bank with a mask on, they got real nervous. Nowadays, like if you walk into a bank without a mask on, they get real nervous. So the masks, like they disguise things. We'll get into that. So something that I wanted to do is the wacky mask challenge. I want you to send me some wacky masks pictures, and I've gotten a few already. Send me your best pics of masks, most creative or fancy masks that you find. Send them to me via email or tag me on Facebook or whatever. I'd love that. And what I'm going to do for the next couple weeks is we're going through this series, the Wacky Mask Challenge. If I pick yours as the winner, you'll get a $5 River Road gift card. All right? So send me, I give extra points if you make me laugh. All right? So if you make me laugh. Now, here's one thing. Somebody in the room sent me like an article that had 40 on them. But I'm not going to sort through all 40 to get to. You need to send me your favorite one. Send me your one or two mask pictures. Several people have sent me a bunch already. So it's fantastic. Send me your wacky mask, hashtag it, unmask your faith. Maybe you'll get a $5, unmasking our faith. Sorry, that's the hashtag. $5 gift card if you make me win. So here's some that I found. This one's subtle. Do you get it? He didn't have an ear on the other. Yeah, because he cut off his ear. Okay, Van Gogh. All right. Here's another one. Charity's the only one that got that. All right, we're going to move right along. Do you see this one? This is the kid from Home Alone, right? That's his picture. So that one was good. Does anybody remember those masks? If you do, you're really, really old. Because that was from like the bubonic plague era. So that's another model you could probably have. These people found those water jugs. I don't know how good that's going to be, but it's a mask and an eye gear all in one. Dr. Fauci's saying we need to protect our eyes too, so that's good. This guy chose a scuba gear. I believe this is a scuba kind of thing. So I don't know how many more we have. Do we have another one? Let's get creative here, guys. You got to make up some masks if you're going to do one. All right, so send those in. The winners, I'll do a couple a week, and maybe you'll get a $5 gift card if I pick yours. So now I'm going to put up my mask, even though I'm more than 6 feet from everybody. Can you still hear me? I'm going to fuss with this for a second. Can you still hear me? I need some response. Okay. We're wearing masks. And let's just admit it, we all hate it. Can we agree? Governor DeWine, if you're listening, we hate it. But we're doing it because this is what we're doing. So I can put on this mask, and you all know who I am because I've revealed myself to you, right? You know because I put the mask on in front of you. But there's times when I've been at the store looking like this and I put a ball cap on. I almost always wear a ball cap no matter where I'm at except for on Sunday mornings. So I wear the ball cap and people don't know who I am I've seen people who I don't necessarily want to see, and it's okay that they don't know who I am because I'm completely covered. I've disguised myself per the government's order, but you can't recognize who people are necessarily because they've covered their faces, they've masked themselves. Now, masks kind of have some advantages because I could be making crazy faces at you right now and you wouldn't even know it. Can you tell? You could have kind of bobbled my head. I could be eating a snack in here right now. That would be a good advantage to a mask. Wear a snack in there. You know what? I could just be cussing you out under my breath and making the worst comments about you, and you'll never even know because you can't read my lips. Not that I do any of these things, okay? I could shave my beard off and you wouldn't know because I trim it real short because I hate the way it feels with the mask on. But the worst of all is the mask covers up my identity. It covers up who I am. The problem with masks are it really destroys our humanity of seeing for real who the other person is. To be able to communicate with them. I'm going to take this off now. Oh, man. I have to take it all the way off. I'm taking it all the way off because the air conditioner's broke in here. And it's like a turtleneck. Ugh, it's so hot. So those of you who are worshiping online, you picked a good day because the air conditioner's broke in the ballroom today and it's sweaty. So the problem with masks is it covers up who we really are. And honestly, this is why I have not come out and said, you have to wear masks all the time while you're in this building worshiping with us, because I believe it removes some of the humanity that we have. And I believe worship actually is a human thing that we do. Yes, we have a spiritual component, and we need to uplift ourselves to God, but as people created in the image of God, we actually become more human when we worship, and we must see each other's faces. So I don't like us to wear the mask when we're worshiping with one another. Worship should be a transcendent experience of the human existence. And when you can't see faces, it just removes that humanity from it. So masks cover up our humanity, covers up who we really are. And so in this series, we're going to unmask our faith. Oftentimes, the outlet of our faith is really just is worship. Like, isn't that true for many people? The outlet of our faith, the only time we exercise faith is on Sunday morning. It's one of the things that we do. Faith tends to be a commitment that we have that we live out on Sunday mornings. And sometimes some people, they check the box. Yes, I did my faith thing for the week by coming on Sunday mornings or worshiping whatever. Isn't that the classic thing for most people? Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's just a reality for the church at large. Pre-COVID-19. Okay, think back to March when people would just come to church because that was the thing to do. We didn't have time necessarily to serve faith in action. We had so many commitments going on. We didn't have time to work the Play Cafe, or we didn't have time to do a weekly small group, so we went to church on Sunday morning. That was the thing we could do to exercise our faith. Now, we're kind of too scared to do some of those things. We may have more time, but we can't do faith in action like we used to. And the Play Cafe doesn't operate like it used to. Those things aren't there like they used to be. But Sunday morning would be the way that we exercise our faith. They're driven by commitments, those things that we do. And so our lives, in general, pre-COVID-19, up to March 15th, 2020, our lives were high commitment. Commitment-driven people. We did all the things that we did. We have work commitments that we did, meetings to go to, things to do with work, family commitments. We had to go see people and go spend time with family and do the family things. School commitments for many people. Well, we got not just school, but there's after-school activities. There's all the practices and the games and the meets to go to, all the different things. 4-H and social clubs, sports, all, you know what I'm talking about. We had commitments. In one weekend, all of it went away. Gone. That was March the 15th, was the Sunday. I remember it. It's etched in my memory. It'll probably be there forever. All of that went away. And over the next couple of weeks, we realized, hey, we don't need all those commitments. Actually, we're getting along quite nicely, not being so busy. It's not too shabby just having time back to ourselves. And then online worship. I'm not just talking about Engage New York here. Online worship became very easy, except for those of us who produced it. Online became very easy because now the commitment isn't to have to get up and go to worship someplace. Now we roll out of our bed, maybe we put on our good jammies, and then we turn on the TV or the device or whatever, and we watch. And so online worship then we realize it's actually something we can skip altogether on Sunday morning. We can watch it anytime. It's on demand. And so worship then becomes not something we're committed to, not something that we contribute in part of a body together, but rather something we consume. So we just watch it along with all of our other schedule of things that we normally watch. Little reality that I hear amongst pastors and actually a broader culture is that COVID-19 has fast-forwarded the natural development of our culture by 10 years. Our online shopping, the way we do education, now the way we worship, it just pushed us 10 years to 2030, where we were heading anyway, and now we're trying to play catch-up already. And still here at Engage New York, we're trying to play catch-up. We're learning, and learning, and learning, and relearning, and trying to do the best that we can. So as things are now opening up, we are starting to reevaluate what do we want to be committed to? What are the things that I want to say yes to now, because pre-March 15th, I was real busy. And now that I'm not so busy, I kind of like it. And actually, it's healthy. I feel like it's healthier in terms of the schedules and busyness. How do you view your commitments and now your commitment to faith? Where does your faith play a role in those things? How do you view your commitment to the faith? And maybe this is one area where we can just take the mask off. Let's take the mask off of our faith and allow our faith to show our commitment, not to a gathering on Sunday morning necessarily, but a commitment to Jesus Christ himself. Now we can't worship in person. So how can somebody know you're a Christian? How can somebody know you're a believer in Jesus Christ? Because you ain't coming on Sunday morning anymore. I mean, most of you. I'm talking to the camera. Most of us. We're not doing that. So how do we show our faith? How can we unmask our faith so that everybody can know that we're believers and followers of Jesus Christ? How do you unmask your faith? And if you did unmask your faith, what would that reveal? What would be shown of your faith? Jesus has a few things to say about it. And as I've been preparing this message and think about this topic, how does God recognize you as a believer? How does the world recognize you as a believer in Jesus? Two verses have come out in my head. Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, and John 13, 24 through 25. Those are the two verses we're going to look at over the next 10, 15 minutes or so. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. We'll look at that one first. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and this is the end of what they call the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus has kind of given his whole like direction of this is the kind of kingdom we're going to talk about and learn about over the next 2-3 years. This is just the outline of ministry that he is going to have over the next period of time. And Jesus gives these basic instructions, turning the religious culture of the day on its head. So there's all these statements, you've heard it said, but I say to you. He turns everything upside down. But for everything that he says, he actually gets to the heart of the matter rather than just the legalistic rule of the matter. You heard it say, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. I tell you, love your enemy. What? I mean, he says, turn the other cheek. You know, that's turning things upside down. And if he's talking about don't just obey the law, but actually observe the heart behind the law, then you don't have to worry about the law. And there's a freedom in that if we can just learn to live with the heart behind the law and not just list of rules. And so if we can get to the heart behind it, then we can remove the mask. I'm going to tell you, Governor DeWine, you can't find the heart for me to wear the mask because I hate it. I observe the rule, but I don't have my heart in it. But what about when it comes to your faith? Is it just a mask with nothing behind it? You're just showing up to the thing with nothing behind it. So listen to what Jesus says about this idea in Matthew. It says, not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Ouch. And then he goes on and he tells them, hey, if you want to be wise, you got to not only hear the things I say, but do them. And he talks about the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the foolish man is somebody who hears what he says, but then doesn't do them. Jesus isn't letting us off the hook here easy. Look at what Jesus says about wearing a mask over your faith. People who say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did mighty works in your name. And what does Jesus say? I never knew you. Depart from me. In our culture, honestly, we don't even do those things. We don't really prophesy, do miracles. We don't have that as part of what we do. We don't cast out demons. I've never done it. I've been privileged to see a few miracles and see some prophecy and things like that. We might say, Lord, Lord, we sang songs in your name, and we prayed for our dinner in your name, and we asked you to solve our problems in your name. And God forbid that he would say back to us, I never knew you. But Jesus gives us the way. He gives us a chance to not have that happen. He gives us the program. And the difference is to those who do the will of the Father in heaven. That's who get to enter. Lord, Lord, he says, those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. Sorry, I didn't read all that. Not many will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who says, Lord, Lord, and does the will of the Father will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I think verbal confession is important. We need to be able to say, Lord, Lord. We need to be able to confess that Jesus is our Savior. He is our Lord. But he's not talking about people who just pay lip service and then don't do anything about it. Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. We're in a bar, so buzzing is okay. Part of what happens. Totally kidding. So lip service is one thing. We need to have lip service. We need to verbally confess Jesus Christ is our Lord, but there's also a response to do that. There's a response to what God has done for us so that we can say, Lord, Lord. We must do the will of the Father within that. You know, there are people who think Jesus is a good idea, and he is a great idea. They might even wear a mask that has a fish on it. I have a picture. Look, you can wear that mask. You might even drive around with a bumper sticker. But then they don't necessarily do the will of the Father. And those are the folks that Jesus will say, I never knew you. We really hate to put contingencies upon being accepted in the kingdom of God, right? We don't want to say that, you have to do this in order to get that. We never want that, right? And I agree with that. So before we ever did anything, good or bad, Christ died for our sins. He loved us that much. It's a free gift. We just merely accept it. However, after we accept that free gift, and we start to grow in the knowledge and grace of God and what God has for us, then we have to do something in response to what God has done for us. We do something in response to the gift of grace that God has given us. And Jesus ties that in twice right here in these few passages. He says, those who do the will of the Father can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then the part that I didn't read about the wise man building his house on a rock, those who hear and do the teaching of Jesus are the wise man who built his house on the rock. So we take the mask off of our faith. What do we find? Someone just singing songs and watching videos? That might sting a little. I have encouragement for us. Don't worry. I might lose some followers in this message. It's okay. As long as Jesus gains some. This is why I hate doing online as our primary mode of things. It's just too easy to put on a mask and just say, this is my Jesus thing for the week. Check the box. I'm good. And meanwhile, we're just covered up. No one can see our identity. We might say, Jesus, didn't we whisper sing songs in our living room in your name? Jesus is looking at me. He's looking at you. And he might say, I never knew you. This is not all I called you to. There is more to it than this. I called you to follow me. Take off the mask because I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see what's behind the mask. I want to see you. And thankfully, Jesus gave us what we need to do the will of the Father. What is that? What's the will of the Father? We go, oh no, that's too much. I can't understand the will of the Father. It's a mystery. Well, it's going to be similar to whatever we find in Jesus' teachings, I guarantee you that. That's the will of the Father. Here's the next thing I want to bring up because it leads into the other thing. John 13, 34 through 35, Jesus is now at the end of the ministry. He's with his disciples for one last time. He's washing their feet, and they share in the Passover meal together. They celebrate what we call the Last Supper, communion. He's about to pray for them, and he has this long list of instructions and promises and warnings for the disciples. And because within a day, he's going to die. He'll resurrect in a few days, but he knows it's about to end. He's no longer really going to be with them. And so he says this, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Let's walk through that real quick. It's a rundown of what should be behind the mask, how people should recognize you as a follower of Jesus. And so what is it? What is it? Somebody say. Love. Love. That's the key signifier. But not just love for anybody. He's very specific as to who. Now he says, I'm giving you a new commandment. It doesn't seem very new, does it? It sounds similar to a lot of the other commandments, especially the first and second greatest one. Previously, he had said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And there, he's talking about everybody. But he's talking about outsiders, insiders, anybody that's not you yourself. Love them as much as you love yourself. So this one's a little different, though. He's talking about one another. He's talking about specifically disciples of Jesus Christ. He's talking about his followers. Love one another. Now this is like he's saying, all y'all in the room, all y'all in the room, you love one another just as I have loved you. So how much is that? How much does Jesus love them? To death, yes, but not they didn't know that yet. Just before that, he'd washed their feet. He loved them enough to serve them in the lowliest kind of way. He served them and gave himself up for them in a very physical, meaningful way by washing their feet. Not that big of a deal for us, but huge for them at that time. Not only that, then, to death in a couple of days. He gave himself completely up for them. He sacrificed everything for them. He went to the cross for them and for us. Like Charles Spurgeon, he says this, the second greatest commandment, which is love your neighbor as you love yourself, that's one thing. But then the new commandment is love each other as Christ loves us. And guess what? Christ loves us more than we love ourselves. And that kind of hit me. Christ loves me more than I can even love myself. In the new commandment, the way people will know that we're disciples is if we love one another as much as Christ loved us. So if we're going to be recognized by the world, we're going to recognize as believers, we need to love each other deeply enough to serve one another, do things that we might not normally do, sacrifice for each other. And it's funny because you might think that Jesus would say Christians would be known for how they love outsiders. And we spend a lot of time talking about how we handle outsiders and go to the out. We have the out, in, and up for Engage Newark. We talk a lot about the out. But Jesus says they're going to know you are followers of him by how we love one another inside the church. So we're unmasking our faith. So to be recognized by Jesus, we need to do the will of the Father. To be recognized by the world, we need to love one another. Can't go to church anymore just as your only outlet to faith. You can't be recognized by that very well anymore. So how is he going to recognize you? And unmask the faith. What can you do to be recognized as a believer of Jesus Christ? Last week, we were challenged by Christina Tharp to do a random act of kindness for a stranger. She had these cards we could fill out. It was in memory of her daughter, Olive, who celebrated her 4th birthday, I think, last Monday. And the idea was do something, an act of kindness for somebody, and then you could give them this card, and maybe they could hashtag it, something like that. So I actually want to build on that a little bit. I want you to reach out to someone you know within our church community, within the family of faithful of disciples that we have, and do something sacrificial for them without them having to ask you to do it. Just go do something for them. Let the world recognize you as a believer in Jesus Christ because not because you go to church, but because you love one another as Christ has loved you. I think if you're on the receiving end of something and you recognize it, like maybe you won't even be cognizant that they were doing something, but if you're on the receiving end of it, go ahead and give them a little credit. Don't toot your own horn, toot their horn. And if you want to social media something, because I know it's popular to on social media you show off the good things that you've done. How about show off good things other people did, but do that hashtag that we got going, unmasking our faith. So we can unmask it. We can reveal to the world how we love one another sacrificially as Jesus has loved us. So do something this week. This is your challenge. Do something this week to take the mask off of your faith. Do something to show love to one another. And if it happens to you, give them a little shout out. Unmasking our faith hashtag. All right, that's really all I have for you. If we're going to be recognized as Christians, obviously church isn't the way to do it. It probably never was anyway. But we can do be recognized by Jesus and our culture. Do the will of the Father and sacrificially love one another. Don't forget the wacky mask challenge contest too. Send us those pictures, because we want to bless you with $5 for the next couple weeks. So let's pray. God, thank you that we have been able to experience a time of worship. We have gratitude in our hearts just for the act of worship. And this is an unusual time for all of us. It's strange for us to be able to consider what faith means to us and how to exercise our faith. We don't even know how to do it, because it so often involves people. And we just feel awkward around people now. So, God, give us the awareness to be able to see where you're working and join you there. May we be able to do something that's sacrificially loving to our church family and our community. Help us to continually to do the will of the Father and unmask our faith so that we can be revealed to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for our closing prayer.